Hey, what's going on, everybody? This is Sean. I'm your host.
This is Kurt, co-host.
Don't forget about the permanent guest, Jeremy.
Yeah, welcome, Jeremy. So happy you're here. Hey, we're the Randall Podcast, and we're happy that you're here with us again for the 18th episode.
18 episodes.
Woo!
Gotta love it.
I think it's pretty awesome.
And the permanent guest has been here with us every single time.
Every time.
That's what permanent means.
But that's not what guest means.
Look, stop being contradictive.
Is that a word?
You're contradictive.
Yes, that's a word.
Contradictive?
Yes, that is a word. I might not be using it correctly, but it's still a word.
Contradicting.
You're contradicting.
Hey, at least we can pronounce it.
Children.
Sure Sean's over there going, I'm not going to say the word because I can't enunciate.
Enunciate?
Pronounce.
I know what it means.
I knew a nun once. She used to eat a bunch of different things.
I don't know about you guys, but my 4th of July weekend kicked ass. It rocked.
Started with a bang.
It rocked.
We were all there together, all three of us, in it rocking.
And the rocking of said things.
That's so weird.
I don't.
You said I don't know what you guys were up to last weekend, but 4th of July weekend started with a bang and it rocked.
Yeah, it did. It was awesome.
I'm telling you, we were there with you.
I know.
Who are you talking to? Yes.
Oh.
Who do you think we're talking to?
Oh, God. Okay. I'm sorry. I got so confused.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? My name is Sean. I'm your host. We got a new co-host. His name is Jeremy.
And Kirk just...
Bang. I just quit.
Kirk's got some
screw
problems.
Screw you guys.
Right?
I'm going home.
That's him throwing the mic down on the ground.
Kirk's got a little problem. We're going to... It's okay.
It's okay. Yeah, no, it did. It started amazing.
So what we did last week is, so we live in a small little town, New Braunfels, just north of San Antonio. There's this
New Braunfels, Texas.
There's this awesome academy, Texas Aviation Academy, and they've got, the owner of this flight school has over 20 planes that he owns, and they took us up into three different old school Warbird planes. Mine was built in 46, and he was controlling the plane with his feet.
Well, yeah.
I think that's how most planes are flown.
No.
His feet and hands.
Yeah, I mean, it was straight up, and I mean, it's called the Cessna L1901 Bird Dog.
All I know is that I remember Sean told me that he was stepping on a wire. And then the guy's like, "Hey, you know that wire you're stepping on?" He's like, "Yeah." Like, stop.
Don't. Yeah, that's the flaps. So the Bird Dog was a liaison and observation aircraft, and it's the first all metal fixed wing aircraft ordered by the United States Army following the Army Air Force's separation in it from 1947. For those of you who don't know, the Air Force gained its quote unquote independence from the Army in 1947, but the Bird Dog had a lengthy career in the United States military. Other countries use it as well, but primarily we used it for observation, and it was pretty cool. So when the owner,
Jeremy, that was his name.
Oh yeah, sorry.
Yeah, how could you forget?
It was
that?
Hard. It was hard for me to forget it.
Yeah. So when Jeremy was like, "Hey, we'll go up into the what was it called again? The Bird Dog." And he goes, "Good thing I've never flown this thing before. We're going to figure this out." And, you know, just before we land, he's like, "The plane is actually pretty easy to fly." Landing, then, well, that's a different story. Yep. So it was pretty awesome, pretty incredible. I thought I was going to die.
Yeah. And you mentioned the 20 aircraft.
Yeah.
A good majority of them are old warbirds. Like, we're talking 40s, 50s, that era. So it was amazing. We walked up like, holy cow.
Did you fly?
So the one I was in was the BT-13 Valiant. So it was a basic training, like they trained pilots, World War II, on this aircraft, starting in 1940. And amazing looking you know, it looks like a actual war bird, like one that flies in the war. And holy cow. Well, it was a basic trainee. So it didn't fly in the war. It trained.
So when you say it looks like it flew in the war.
I'm just saying it looks like you just strapped some guns to it and some bombs and she's good to go.
All right, perfect. Yeah, but, that's a great explanation.
Had some bullet holes.
Yeah. Bullet holes.
Yeah. No, and it was really cool because it's one of those that you're pointed, the pilot's pointed up as you're taxiing. So he had to keep veering left and right while we're taxiing so he could see where he was going because you couldn't see in front of the plane. Right, you see what I'm saying? Like he had to veer so he could see and stay in a straight line.
He was at an angle.
Were you in front or behind Jeremy?
I was behind Jeremy.
Yeah.
Were they doing the same thing?
No.
No, we could see straight.
You could see straight.
Yeah, they weren't looking at, you know, the sky.
I could almost touch the grass.
Yeah. So Chris, the pilot, you know, he's actually prior U2 pilot, Air Force, as well as a trainer. He's taught pilots in the Air Force and. Pretty amazing stuff to hear him talk about that. And the fact these guys are instructors, they come here and they instruct. If you want to go take classes, if you want to learn how to fly,
yeah,
you just go talk to these guys. It's amazing.
Yeah.
I was enthralled the whole time.
And they've got real world. Some of them even got combat experience. I think one of them, your pilot, right? He was an A-10 pilot.
No, that was the guy named Balls that was on the list. My guy flew the U-2, which was flown in reconnaissance for the war.
Well, Chris Fats, right? Who had Chris?
I had Fats, yeah. So if you look at it.
Yeah, oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, you're right. I'm sorry. Yeah, you're right.
I don't think we met Balls.
No. Spelled with B-A-L-Z.
B-A-L-Z.
Yeah.
They're
Mike
names.
Balls Stock.
Chris, my pilot, his flight name is Fats. He wasn't fat, so
no.
I was the fat guy in the plane. I'm Fats too. He was Fats one. I'm Fats two.
They did ask. He said, "The heaviest guy going this plane."
I'm like, "That's me. Let me go get in that one."
For once, I was the winner because they said, "Who's the lightest guy?" I mean, not by much, but
yeah, yours was cool. Yours is a cool little plane. I mean, unfortunately, you didn't get to see what we did.
No,
getting to like fly in formation, which was kind of cool.
Well, we were kind of in formation.
Yeah, you guys were circling out there watching us.
We were, I think, around 300 yards away just because we couldn't catch up with you guys.
Right.
Yeah. Top speed, I think we barely got to 100 miles an hour.
Yeah, I think we were like 120.
I think 120 was the slowest we could go.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So that's why we were doing those small little circles, just trying to catch up with you guys and cutting corners.
Now, you guys will see pictures. We're going to be posting pictures, or you may have already seen some. So it was awesome.
I will say I almost puked. Because he made some tight turns, and I mean, he went down pretty steep, and I was like, this is like a roller coaster.
Well, if you had, Jean's me like, and Jeremy would have won the bet.
It's true.
So
you bet I was going to puke?
None of us puked.
Yeah, nobody. So Jeremy, tell us about yours. Was awesome, dude. What? Tell us about yours.
So I was in the Pilatus P3. It was the fastest plane out of the bunch, and it was the only one that can actually go inverted. I didn't get to go inverted.
We were hoping.
I really wanted to take a Top Gun picture on top of over Sean's plane, but apparently that was not. I wasn't going to be.
I thought y'all were going to come screaming.
Yeah.
Oh, I wish we had. That would have been awesome.
But
I kept looking. I kept waiting on it.
But so my plane was it was another trainer aircraft. It wasn't one that was actually flown in the war. It was built to be a trainer. The main users were actually the Swiss Air Force and the Brazilian Navy.
What was the name the nose art? What was the name? It was
I think it was a Swiss Mess.
Yeah, something. Oh, Swiss Behaving.
Swiss Behaving.
Swiss Behaving. That's it was right. Awesome.
Yours was like Lucky Number 13.
Yeah, Lucky Number 13.
But yeah, I mean, Hunter was my pilot. He's the son of the owner of Texas Aviation Academy. Cool dude. We did a lot of formation work. So me and Kirk was in with Fats behind us, and we did a lot of formation. And the funny thing about the formation we were going, it was just going to be the two of us. And then somewhere, like early on during the formation, some guy from Michigan who flies who flies in every 4th of July to be with these guys and do their things. He was 3 hours earlier, was in Michigan, flew out, and then just popped in formation.
Yep.
And just flew in formation with us. And we were out. He's like, hey, yeah, you see that third guy? I was like, yeah, it's like, that doesn't look like a, it's like, do we know this person? He's like, yeah, he was in Michigan 3 hours ago and he was up here. So he's like, ah, he just wanted to, he just jumped in.
He said, yeah, I'm looking behind us like, Chris, 5 o'clock. He's like, oh, there he is. Okay. Yeah, he's there. I'm like, who is this guy? So no, it was kind of cool. I mean, it was a brand new plane, like, yeah, really nice plane.
Oh yeah. Beautiful, beautiful
plane. I think that dude was like almost stall speed.
Yeah, it took us. It took us forever because I think at one point we were only at 1,600 feet, and he was just cruising along at 2,300 feet, and we had to do some steep climbs. And I'm like, where's that plastic bag? Where's that plastic bag at? But nothing happened.
Yeah,
I didn't have to see my lunch.
But yeah, this was an amazing experience.
Yeah.
For us and they had a big event there on Saturday as well.
Yeah.
Where they had a bunch of planes in, people mm-hmm. came out and.
But yeah, so the Hunter was telling me that those warbirds. I don't know if it was mine in particular or what, but the warbirds that we were flying, there's only 25, about 25 or 23 that are actually fully operational in the United States, and they were going to have 10 of them. They had 10 of them Saturday, which means they had basically had 50% of the still flying planes. In New Braunfels, Texas at one time. It's insane. It's insane to think about.
Oh.
So if you could go, I mean, I think every time I get up in an airplane, I mean, wouldn't it be awesome to fly planes? But just to, I was telling Jeremy, the pilot, and when we're up there and just kind of hanging out, it was, and I mentioned, I go, you know what? It's so peaceful up here and I don't have to worry about what's going on down.
Oh, yeah.
You know, basically what's going on right now. And he goes, you know what? This is my happy place. I would say there is something about getting in that cockpit and just hanging out. And the windows were open. We couldn't have picked a better day to go up and just fly around. And the fact that these guys just said, you know, at first they were only going to allow one of us to go up there. Obviously, it's pretty expensive to fly these jets. The maintenance, the fuel. The pilots, obviously, they keep up their training. And when we show up, they say, hey, all three of you guys, let's go. And let's do a formation. And we can practice for our event. Mm-hmm. I feel like super blessed that they took time and spent their own cash to put us up there.
I mean, yeah. And they were just so welcoming. And even when we got done, they're like, oh, we're going to barbecue. You guys stick around. We'll just watch the sunset. We're like.
I felt bad. I was like, I ain't bring no steak.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, no, they, like you were talking about, like that happy place. We took off, and I've never been in a plane like that. And the windows were open. My wife was even saying she was freaking out watching as we took off.
I heard.
Because the windows were open. You leave the windows open until you get airborne, and then you can kind of close them a little bit when the wind speed gets a little bit too high.
Well, real quick, from what I understand, the reason that Andrew really freaked out, not only was the canopy open, but Kirk on takeoff just decided he was gonna stick his arm out the window. Like
I was like, hey, they told me I could. I was like, hey,
he's just sticking his arm out the window. Yeah. And apparently, when you when you flew by and your arm was sticking out the window, your wife grabbed mine and was like, what the heck is going on?
Yeah, no, it was awesome. But anyway, we got up and as we're climbing, if you've never flown in an old plane like that. You have a little bit of a pucker factor going on.
Yeah,
right?
Mine was built in 46.
I know.
Yeah.
And you're like, you know, hitting a little bit of pocket of turbulence as you're taking off, and you're like, there is nothing between me and the ground right now.
I mean, you were wearing a parachute.
Sean had to wear a parachute.
No, Jeremy did.
Jeremy had to wear a
if
parachute.
If I was going to fall out, I was just going to die.
Yeah. Well, so this is, I told both of them before we went up, I was like, look, I feel really good about wearing a parachute. And both of them are like, well, why? Well, see, what this tells me is that if my plane messes up, I have a chance. I have a chance to get out and be able to save them. Both of them, no parachute. You know screwed. Why? Because if their plane goes down, we ain't even going to waste the money give y'all waste some parachute because y'all are just done.
I felt like my airplane was like the first paper airplane that I ever made.
No. When I heard Jeremy before he took off, he said, well, yeah, if our plane goes down, we're just going to step out. Yeah. I was like, we'll be right there.
gosh. Yeah, we were cruising only like 1,600 feet, and he was like, hey, there's my house right there. And he takes both hands off of the
stick.
The stick, yeah. And the plane goes, you know, it starts moving.
We call that the manual stick actuator.
Yeah. I mean, it was super windy up there, too.
Yeah. So,
going 100 miles an hour.
Yeah, in your little plane. So,
yeah, my little paper airplane. Up there.
As we're climbing, I look down and I was having that little bit of a panic moment. And I'm like, oh. But then I was like, you know what? I'm just going to sit back because you know what? I can either enjoy it or I can be freaked out the whole time. I can just, what's going to happen is going to happen now. I'm airborne.
Yep.
And if I'm not airborne any longer, doesn't really matter because there's nothing I can do about it, right? So I just sat back and just started watching the land and just enjoying it. And then the next thing I know, felt like 3 feet away from Jeremy's plane.
It felt really close. I would imagine we were at least 10 feet apart, you know, trying to stay COVID friendly
formation. Yeah, exactly.
While 1,500 feet in the air.
How much time between, like, you took off first?
No, they took off first.
Yeah. So how much time were you, like, right behind them?
Yeah, 10 seconds. Oh, okay. Like, they took off and then we were behind.
Because you took off maybe 5-7 minutes before we did.
Oh, so y'all weren't that far behind us?
No, it may have been like 10 minutes, but it takes a while to crank those old.
Well, so the P3, he said the P3 was ready to go. He's like, but we had to stall on y'all.
We had to wait.
Because y'all's takes a while to warm up.
Yeah. Yep. And I'm like, hey, let her warm up. I want to make sure she's ready to go. Let's not rush anything here.
And we didn't.
Yep. No, they were consummate professionals. Amazing. I even asked Chad at one time, we were doing the formations. And I said, Chad. Chris. Chris, yes. Which one's Chad? Oh, yeah, that's
Chad.
Yeah, Chris Fats. I said, is this dangerous what we're doing right now? Because it seems a little dangerous. Because
we were really close.
We were really close. And he said, oh, no, not at all. He said, this is stuff we practice and we do all the time. He said, I actually feel bad because I'm not closer right now, but I'm still trying to, you know, get used to, you know, I haven't done this in a while. And I'm like, oh, I'm good right here.
What was really cool, I don't know if you saw him every now and then, but I would look back and I would see, and Fats never looked in front. He was never looking in front, like straight on. He was always looking at Hunter.
Yep.
So, and Hunter was my pilot. So when you look, every time I look back to see where Kirk and Fats was, I would see Fats, and Fats would never be looking straight like where he's going. He was always looking at Hunter and watching that plane. I was like, that's really cool. And then every now and then, Hunter wouldn't say anything, but he put up a hand signal.
Yep.
And that hand signal would signal exactly what was going on. And then like 5 seconds later, something's happening.
Yeah.
Somebody's moving to another direction, or we're taking a turn, or this, that, and the other. And then the best one was, we were coming in like the final, our final come through.
Yep.
And you just, all I see is Hunter like,
he holds up four fingers or something.
Four fingers, did something, and then he put his hands to his mouth and like did like a little kiss goodbye, just like, and boom, took a hard right, and it was so cool, so fast,
yep,
and it was awesome. And then like I heard you telling him, it was like, oh look, Jeremy just threw a ball.
Yeah, no, I was like, oh look, Jeremy just crapped his. And then my guy turned the wheel to the right quickly too. So it was awesome though. We had a good time.
But it was really cool to see, like, because I guess you would never think that they're still using hand signs up there when you got technology as it is with.
Well, not in these airplanes. There's no technology.
Well, yeah, but they still had mics, still had headphones, still had headsets. Everything was still they could still talk to each other.
Yeah.
They're still using hand signs. Like that was really interesting to me. I didn't realize that they would.
When you look at some of these professional demo pilots like the Thunderbirds or the Air Force A-10 or the F-35, F-22 teams, F-16, and watch them, primarily the Thunderbirds, if you watch how they're training in a lot of their on Instagram, they're not even paying attention to what's in there. And they're going super fast, hundreds of miles an hour.
I can't imagine.
Yeah, man. and they just keep their eyes to, because you think about it, because it's kind of like driving a car, right? You're gonna keep your eyes on what's in front of you, on the object that's in front of you.
Yeah.
They already know there's nothing in front of them.
Hopefully.
Right? Well, they depend on radar for that, right? I mean, that's why they're keeping their head to the left, to the right, to the aircraft. They don't want to run into them. Those are expensive aircrafts. So.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that and they don't want to die because that's, you know, going those kind of speeds. If you got to eject, you can survive, but you're going to be injured. I mean, that's just the way it is.
I'm not going to lie. I did pray just before I took off. I'm like, this thing was built in 1947.
Oh. It is a little nerve-wracking. Yeah. It really is.
It's just amazing. And even back in those times,
it's amazing that these things, these big metal aircrafts can get off the ground.
They still work.
It's so heavy and it still gets off the ground. But
because we were all single engine airplanes, all three of them. So, I mean, it's really cool. I mean, none of us were bigger than a single front engine. And it was just really cool. Just the three different levels, basically.
Yeah. I do want to point out, though, that the Flying Academy, that they don't just have the Warbirds. So if you're more interested, if you want to fly a Cessna or you want to fly some of the little smaller private aircraft, they actually have some of those to train on as well. So pretty neat. They actually have an old Coast Guard plane that I saw somebody took off in while we were out there prepping. So.
Yeah, I mean, I'm on their website right now. If you just go to TexasAviation.com. TexasAviationAcademy.com, and you click on their aircrafts. They got a Cessna 172 SP. It's a WAS enabled Cessna. I don't know, a bunch of numbers. Those crazy numbers, right?
There's more than two, so I can't read.
Well,
them.
A Cessna's 172 SP. There's more numbers in front of them. The N27 BL. And then the N55 245 Cessna 172.
So if y'all want to see which planes all these numbers that that Sean's just spitting out,
because
no one's gonna know these numbers unless you're really into it.
Check
out their website. I mean, it's awesome. And you got a Hurricane Hunter 5 on Instagram. That's my pilot.
Yeah,
that's your pilot. Hurricane Hunter 5.
Hurricane Hunter 5. That's my pilot.
I didn't get my pilot on Instagram. Dang it.
Well, okay. I'm just a better person than you are.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
I mean, their website's awesome.
You don't even have me on Instagram, jerk.
Huh?
You don't even have me on Instagram.
Yes, I do.
Do you?
Yes.
Okay.
Go look me up. Let's see. You probably don't follow me because you're a rude person.
I'm not rude. Just special. It's the J-Mac. That's you?
Yeah, that's me.
It's the J-Mac. That's cool. I'm just disappointed you didn't wear a flight suit. That would have been the only thing that could have capped it out.
I don't own one.
At the airport, so.
I don't own one, and they didn't offer one, so.
Disappointing.
All right, we're going to shift. We're going to get serious.
Oh, goodness.
Considering our experience flying in these old warplanes, right, and considering the 4th of July, I think that's awesome that we got to do this.
Independence Day. Yep.
What does Independence Day mean to you guys?
Will Smith punched an alien in the face.
And he had a cigar. Not until the fat lady sings.
There wasn't a fat lady in that movie.
But they smoked it. Seriously, what does 4th of July mean to you, Jeremy?
Well, so me, I'm not military. Unlike you two, so I'm purely civilian. But what a lot of 4th of July means to me is I had a lot of family that was military. My dad was in the Navy, my grandfather was in the Army, my other grandfather was in the Air Force. And there's a lot that comes with that, just having that in your family. So when Independence Day comes around, you got to think that so many people have done so much over a long period of time to get us where we are. And it's so close to, like, in retrospect, it's in the year, it's so close to Memorial Day, and you know you have that kind of in your mind. So Independence Day comes around, and so when I look at it, I think about all those people that done so much. So it makes me want to have that good of a day. It makes me want to celebrate being where I am and how we got here. And not just, so like I use Memorial Day as a lot of reflection, where I use 4th of July as a lot of celebration. It's like we've thought about this. We're here. It's like now it's time to celebrate. This is what they did all this so we could do this. This is the day to celebrate that. Mm-hmm. And so when I think about 4th of July, that's what I think about. I think about all that stuff and where we are. And so we need to celebrate it. Celebrate the fact that we are independent. Celebrate the fact that all these people from everywhere can come together to do something to get us there. So let's celebrate that.
No, I agree. I think it's hard sometimes, especially in our current state of where our country is, it's hard to see we can come together.
Yeah.
Because all I see right now is we divide and we point the finger and we say we're Americans, we say we're proud, but yet you bash each other on social media. So
that's why I hate social media.
It's so horrible.
Hate it.
But
chair warriors. Okay, so Sean, tell us what. Yeah, I mean, I'm seeing you in this amazing shirt that you
and wearing
today.
And don't forget the hat.
Oh, and the hat. Yeah,
America.
He's got America all over.
I love it.
So tell us what it means to you, Sean.
Well, we've got 30, 40 minutes left, so that's perfect. I don't know. I'll try to do my best.
Can you leave me like two?
Okay.
Okay.
I think the fourth, and Jeremy, I like what you said. Memorial Day, you reflect, you remember, and then you celebrate on July 4th. I love that. I've never thought of it in that perspective. I actually celebrate both. I celebrate Memorial Day because of the people that have fallen, and we should never forget them. But I think the 4th of July, aside from being military or a civilian, you know, I don't think it's really about what we've done to protect our country. I think it's what we've done to evolve our country. So you look at being free. Free, such a broad word, but I think sometimes we trap ourselves. That's a whole other conversation. But and I think I struggle with this question just because my answer is so big and my commitment is so deep, and it's hard for me to kind of put it into words. I just think that I have to believe, and I said this on the last episode about being naive and believing in our leaders in our country. I do the same thing with the 4th of July. I think there's more to our freedom that people really want to understand. There's more to it. And we live in one of the greatest countries in the world. When you look at some of these other third world countries and they struggle to put water and they don't have food and they have these rituals and they have these traditions that we may look at them and think, man, they're kind of crazy, but they're smiling and they're happy and they're content. And we're over here tearing our country apart. So, 4th of July to me is a day where I can kind of maybe forget all the negativity that's going on and remember what it's really about, what's important. So I love being an American. I love where I'm from, but I also love the world that we live in. I think being an American says, you know, if you're given something great, you need to do something great with it. And if you're not, and now I'm going on a soapbox, right? So, way to go.
You asked the question.
No, you asked me the question. I asked Jeremy the question.
You don't have to keep going on that soapbox. You better go on.
You can soapbox it.
But you can soapbox away.
Whatever you want to do.
I just think the 4th of July is a day where it's one of many days in the year that we can set aside our differences and say, listen, we are a country that unites and stands together, and we've come so far since we've had our independence. Yeah, there's
we've
race.
We've had our civil wars. We've had our nastiness.
And it's still here, and it still exists. And I believe we can get through it. We just have to buckle down. Listen to each other and buckle down and get it done.
Yep.
What about you, Kirk?
Honestly, I kind of go back to growing up. That was when I seemed to have the most memories on 4th of July. I left for basic military training on July 16th of 1996.
I was about to say, what, 74?
Yeah, 1974. No, 1996. And I got to spend 4th of July that year before I left to go to BMT with my fiance, who is now my wife for almost 23 years, almost 24 years. And we were on a boat at the dam watching the fireworks. And I just remember as I was about to join the military, I knew I was leaving. What that meant to me to be able to see those fireworks and the freedom that we had, that we could do that, and the things that I've seen over time as I've matured and had experiences in my life, to see how amazing it is what we have that other countries, other people don't get to enjoy. I mean, there are some countries that have great freedoms as well. I'm not saying they don't, but I feel like as a majority, we have a lot of freedoms that many countries do not have. I think part of that is due to capitalism. I think part of that's due to the fact that our country is set up to have that freedom. And as you said, Sean, there are some areas we need to improve on. But in the great majority, I think we've all been very blessed with the lives that we've had. And we just need to continue to fight for that. And if fighting for that means that we need to stand up to those around us who think other people are less than, then we need to stand up for that. Our forefathers didn't give their lives for us to back down to a challenge. The challenge is there, and we need to step up and we need to help those around us that need help. So anyway, long story short, that's what 4th of July means to me. Happy Independence Day.
And also the same freedom, you also get that freedom to be a Sally. Right, you get the freedom to bitch and complain. You get the freedom to not speak up. You get the freedom
to be the social media troll.
Yeah, you get those freedoms.
No offense to any real Sallys out there.
100% offended. I hope you are.
Or Karens.
No, don't be mean to Karen just because her name's Karen. She might not be a Karen.
I mean, it could be a Karen.
All I know is that there was on our neighborhood page, there was a Karen. Like someone said, it's like, look, I'm sorry to be a Karen about this, but blah, blah, blah. And then like a Karen post back, she's like, can you please not use my name as a negative term?
She's like, I saw that.
He's like, well, I'm sorry, my bad.
Dang, Joe Exotic.
I know.
Carol Baskin. Now, there you go. If you say the full term, it's...
You know, everything was good until those guys came along.
I think everything was fine until White Claw came along, but you know...
That's true.
Very true.
I'll drink White Claw. If it's the only thing left.
Ah, man.
Yeah. But anyway, I think that we just can't forget what we have. We can't forget, you know, what people have sacrificed here on Memorial Day, what our country means. 4th of July is a badass, one of my favorite episodes. My favorite holidays.
It's one of my favorite episodes.
Sean, I want to point something out.
Of America.
Earlier, you made this comment about 4th of July. This is the first one that you've been home for how long?
6 years.
For 6 years. Yeah. So because of COVID,
yeah,
you had to stay home. And you got to spend it with your lovely wife, which I know she's probably been with you a couple of those times anyway, but to have missed those, but you've got to go to some pretty awesome events with it too, though.
Yeah, but I get to be in my own home. I get to be around my close friends. I'm not leaving.
He just called us close friends, Jeremy.
I know, he wasn't talking about us.
Oh.
Yeah, yeah. 100, thanks, Jeremy.
How does it feel, Sean, to celebrate Independence Day for the rest of your life with someone who just... You know, she's not even from here. She doesn't even care. She's like, what about Swedish Independence Day? I'm just kidding, Sandra. I'm just messing with you.
She married into it. We had a blast last weekend for the 4th.
She's like, yeah, it's Saturday. What do you want? It's like, no, it's 4th of July. What's that mean?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just kidding.
We love you, Sandra.
Just wanted to poke a bear a little bit.
it didn't work.
No, well, she'd have to be paying attention to what I actually say. Just like my wife.
Sandra doesn't get upset. Like, she's super focused. She's over there making a sale, probably.
She's like, yep.
She's over there crushing it, making me look bad.
Oh, so my wife does the same thing. I can be looking her dead in the face, her eyes locked into my eyes, tell her something, and then her be like, huh?
Hey, what'd you say?
What? It's like, you were looking right at me. Yeah, but I wasn't paying attention.
I was looking, but I wasn't there.
Yeah.
I wasn't there.
I think it's one of her superpowers.
I wish I had that superpower.
I think everybody wishes they had the superpower to tune me out.
Tune everybody out.
I mean, it's not that hard to tune you out, Jeremy.
I'm loud sometimes. I'm aggressive.
Aggressive. Like a bear?
Like a bear.
Or like a tiger?
Not like a Tiger King. I'm not that
You're
aggressive.
Not that aggressive.
I'm not that aggressive.
What's, Jeremy, what's one of your most memorable 4th of July moments?
It's not a great one, but it's really rememberable. Memorable. You ever have a Roman candle war when you were a kid?
Yeah.
When I was a kid, when I'm an adult.
Okay. Well, I was not full adult. I was a teenager. So we were having Roman candle fight. And everybody knows, if you're at least semi-safe in this stupid, dangerous thing to do, when you have a Roman candle fight, you aim for the chest. You're aiming at the chest. You're not aiming at their head. You're not trying to take their eye out. You aim for their chest. So me and my buddies were having a Roman candle fight. We're doing all the things. And my buddy decides, oh, I can duck this. So I'm shooting at him in the chest like I'm supposed to. He ducks, and it hits him in the face.
Right in the eye.
Just boom, right in the face. So I immediately freaked out. I threw my Roman candle behind me. I was like, ah, crap. I threw it behind me, ran to him. I was like, are you okay? He's like, I smell burnt hair. I was like, why did you duck? He's like, thought I could make it. It's like, you dumb.
But he didn't have any injuries or anything.
So it was memorable because I hit my body in the face with a Roman candle, but it turned out okay because everyone was fine. Oh.
So what happened with the rest of the Roman candle?
Oh, so yeah, I turned around and it was still going off.
you didn't catch nothing on
just
fire, dude.
At least just shooting off behind me. But that's probably one of the most memorable ones.
Yeah.
I'll never forget shooting my buddy in the face with a Roman candle. It's really hard to forget that. What about you, Kirk?
I think I told you all mine. It was before I left to go to TNT. So that was the most memorable for me.
It's a good one. It's a good memory.
I mean, we've had some pretty interesting ones since being stationed different places. Overseas in England was a really good 4th of July.
How was that
holiday?
How was that celebrating it over there?
Well, we celebrated it on base, obviously. Mm-hmm. All the Americans, and then we invited the Brits in as well, right? Because I mean they
like
celebrated
fireworks.
With us, you know. Yeah. Same thing with Thanksgiving. We celebrate Thanksgiving. They don't celebrate Thanksgiving.
So when you invited them over, were you like, way to go, losers?
No, they're like, are you guys doing the barbecue? Because we're there. They love barbecues.
Well, no, you'd call them losers because they lost.
Oh, yeah. We
won that. We won that one.
We would rib each other a little bit.
Hey, people got to eat, so. Man. People got to eat.
Yeah. But I tell you what, I love the British, the Brits. They supported us. I mean, we could laugh about it. It always kind of struck me as funny that we could laugh about those things. You know, I know it's been 300-400 years, but we can laugh about that stuff. And same thing with the Japanese. I mean, Japanese in the 40s were our enemies.
Yeah.
Now are some of our greatest allies. And the fact that we can talk about and see some of the things that happen, it blows my mind. You know, there's still people alive who were shooting at our people and we were shooting at them. And we have people alive that were shooting at them.
And I believe that was a war. We dropped 2 nuclear bombs on their country.
Mm.
And we have a better relationship with them.
Yeah.
The fact of that war was insane with how they invaded us, and then we turned around and...
I mean, Pearl Harbor.
Yeah.
It was Japanese, you know, but we're all friends now, which is cool. That's great. I love that. It's like, you know, you and I may get in an argument, Sean. Tomorrow, that argument's gone. We don't care.
I didn't drop an atomic bomb on your house, though.
I don't know.
Man.
I don't know. You might have dropped an atomic bomb in his bathroom.
Yeah, I've farted a few times.
Probably done that, yeah.
But I understand what you're saying. Yeah.
What about, so, not I'm not trying to jump off of it, but I don't want to go down to Pearl Harbor route far.
No. I just think it's interesting. But
what about you, Sean? What was a good memorable?
I remember driving to Alabama and spending 4th of July with my grandparents, and my granddad, Papa Bailey Nichols, would sit in a chair with a whole string of blackjacks and a lighter.
What, you mean black cats?
Yeah, black cat. Yeah, not the candy. Black cats, yeah.
Black cats.
Yeah, sorry.
Not blackjacks.
You're welcome. I'm just making sure you're paying attention.
Okay, just making sure.
And he would just sit there and peel them off the little twine that they were in. Yeah. He'd grab one, light it, throw it. Pop. Throw it and light it. Pop. Over and over. And that's all he would do. 60 years old, sit in his chair, smoke a cigarette, and like black cats. And I remember being in my cousin's yard.
Anybody that doesn't know what black cats are, they're the firecrackers.
Very, very tiny.
Small little guys.
So they'll still blow your hand off.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You'll lose a finger.
I've had one blow my hand.
It hurts.
Yeah, it hurt pretty bad.
Yeah.
I remember throwing the M80s at people.
Well, that's just stupid.
That's just rude.
It was awesome.
We would get a good M80 and throw it in the sewer. You just hear, you hear the echo for like a good minute.
You guys were derelicts.
No, the derelict is when we got older and we learned how to make a sparkler bomb. That's derelict.
you need to teach me how to do that.
I can.
It's real simple, and I'm not going to say it on the air because
that's what I was saying. You can offline. I need to know.
What about potato guns?
Oh, those are
easy as long as you seal it just right.
Yep.
Did y'all put hairspray?
Aquanet, baby.
Well, yeah.
Aquanet hairspray. Psh.
What else would you put in there?
I don't know. Gasoline.
That's smart.
I know.
I'm smart. If hairspray works great, gasoline's got to work
evidently
better.
There's some hand sanitizer now that would probably work pretty well for that, too.
I'm telling you what, man. We were at Green Hole, and they put out hand sanitizer at every table. And we were using it, and I was like, man, this stuff is strong. And they're like, I bet you we could light this on fire. And we're like, okay. So
one of the dudes
One of the dudes put it in his hand, put a little pull, lit it on fire, just sat there, little blue flame in his hand. He's like, that's enough. And then he closed his hand and shook it, and it was gone. I was like, now, ladies and gentlemen, he's a professional firefighter. I do not recommend you do this at all, ever, ever.
Can I do it?
I recommend not.
Have you got some hand sanitizer?
Yeah.
Let's do it now.
So kids, don't do this ever. It's dangerous. Dumb.
Hey, marketing person, Sandra,
my marketing wife. Person.
Can you go get us some hand sanitizer? No, she's over there. I don't think making sales.
I don't think she agrees with that. Not being smart. In your house and all that kind of stuff. You know, burn the house down.
But yeah, I mean, there's some strong hand scent. I mean, it was killing everything. I'll tell you what.
I bet.
What's in there that makes it light on fire?
Alcohol.
I know, but what isn't there? I mean, alcohol. There's booze and alcohol. I mean, you can't put a.
There's booze and alcohol.
There's booze and alcohol.
There's alcohol in your cute little
booze.
What are they called?
Trulies.
Yeah,
there's alcohol. You can't light that fire.
It's a
content.
Percentage.
That's what I was asking. What kind of alcohol is it? You just can't just light up.
Yeah, no, it needs to be 100% or better.
Or better.
To light up.
This glass of whiskey will not start on fire.
That's not 100 proof.
And you've had ice sitting in it melting for the last 45 minutes.
44.
But yeah, it's got to be 100 proof or better. That's why moonshine works real good, like.
Mm-hmm.
So when I lived in Europe, I had to go to Spain for a trip, and I became good friends with one of the Irish pubs and the owners and
just the building. Became real good friends with that building.
Yeah, the building. Anyway, but I was telling him I used to soak cherries in 151.
Right.
For like a month, and they would, I don't, what were they called, like cherry bombs or something? I don't remember, but they were delicious. And I was telling him off this, and this was back way before all the restrictions on flying. Well, obviously 151 is
more than 100 proof.
That's 151 proof.
Yep.
Hence the name.
Oh.
Yeah, right.
Oh.
I said, so I had to go back to Germany where I was living, and I was only there for like 3 weeks, and I went back to Spain to bring the team home. And I go, hey, when I come back, I'll bring you a bottle of 151. I brought this thing as my carry-on in a plane.
Mm-hmm.
And it was completely legal then.
It was completely legal.
Yep.
And I was like, hey, you got to go buy your own cherries.
He's like, welch. Yeah. Thanks a lot.
It just shows you how crazy things were back then. I carried a bottle that was 151 proof on an airplane in Europe.
Yeah, but you didn't do anything with it. That's the key.
I may or may not had a sip.
I mean,
on the plane?
Yeah.
And then you took it to a pub owner.
Yeah.
Who served it to other people.
No.
Oh.
We drank it together.
Oh.
Did he
soak the cherries in it?
Yeah, he soaked the cherries. I don't know for how long, but.
Are you talking about fresh cherries or the Maraschino out of a can?
Out of a can. You just are in the bottle.
Yeah. Okay.
Pour them in there and just let them sit.
All right.
Let them ferment.
Yeah. A little dangerous. What'd they call it? Hunch punch? Fruit punch? Back in the day?
Oh, it depends. I mean, we called it a bunch of things.
I got Jeremy started now. He's like...
Jungle juice.
Yeah, jungle juice. Yep. Soaking that fruit in the alcoholsies.
Oh, yeah. We get like a couple bottles of different things, like Everclear 151. Put that in there. Then you put like a thing of orange juice, thing of Hawaiian punch, throw all the fruit in there, let that soak.
That sounds delicious.
I mean, it was dangerous.
Oh, yeah.
I like to live life a little dangerously.
You like to live it a quarter mile at a time?
Quarter mile at a time.
Like we did in the airplanes last week. You know,
I'll tell you, I want to give another shout out to Texas Aviation Academy.
Y'all are amazing, guys. Thanks a lot. Please, Hurricane Hunter 5.
You guys rock. Check them out, TexasAviationAcademy.com. If you want to learn how to fly, that's where you need to go if you live in central southern Texas. They're going to take care of you.
Absolutely. Yeah, go check them out.
Yeah. Happy post 4th of July. And just so you know, we're going to take a week off. We're going to kind of spend some time with our families. But next week, we're going to have a Blast from the Past episode. And let us know which one you want to hear. Or if you're listening to this in a week, we've already picked it for you. So,
y'all are looking at you. You better jump in right now.
Jump in right now. We love you.
Thanks, guys.
See you later.
See y'all.
America.
America.